Your hand if you know that that's Jimmy Cliff with Sooner or Later. It's his own composition, and it is from his 1973 album, Struggling Man. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I start off by reminding you that we have a date, you and I, and hopefully others that you bring along, on May the 26th, that's this coming Sunday, at the Community Church, 40 East 35th Street, and we'll just, it's just to get together, and to shake hands with each other, look at each other and say, oh, so that's, I'm looking at your voice, how great, and we are doing this in order to form community, because we have some particular work to do. But first, let's get to know each other and let's talk about things that matter to us all. So it's going to start at 1 o'clock. At 12:30, there'll be registration, and registration is simply that you sign the welcome book, and so I get to see your face, you get to see me up close, and all of it, of course, there's no fee, there's no charge, it's free. And but if you want to make a donation, it will be welcome, but that is not the requirement for the day. So again, that's Sunday, May the 26th at 1 o'clock at the Community Church, 40 East 35th Street. That's between Park Avenue and Madison Avenue in Manhattan. I'll remind you once more before we leave each other today. Okay, so now we come to what's going on in this country. And it is really scary where we are, but at the same time, we need not despair, although it is very, very close to the point of desperation that this is where we are. Leadership is what it is, and each day we wait for a new chapter of insanity to greet us. And with, we have this week that incredible case wrapping up, at least allegedly wrapping up in New York City, the case of Daniel Pantaleo, the police officer who was the one who applied what the medical examiner has said is a chokehold. Applied a chokehold, and of course, it is what killed Eric Garner 5 years ago. Now, it's interesting how the case moved through the court system and from the court system. There was an indictment. Actually, there wasn't an indictment. I correct myself. There wasn't an indictment in this case. A jury found no reason to indict Pantaleo. It's not surprising, considering the fact of how New York City works. The jury that heard this case, the facts of this case, were selected from a community that Daniel Pantaleo comes from. So they were not inclined to find any fault at all, not even as an accusatory instrument, because, of course, an indictment is just that. It's a list of charges or a charge that comes out of a set of circumstances that are presented. But then you know that Staten Island is like the home of white officers where they live. They live there. So, and many people are very much aware of this. Many people like the idea, and many people are naturally disposed to being pro-police. So that was not a surprise that there was no indictment. But there are some other things that are surprising in this case. Despite promises from the federal government that charges like this or cases like this would warrant very close scrutiny, we did not get that. Instead, just to satisfy for the record that, the case was looked at. The case then was devolved to the police department itself. And it's not a criminal case. It's a procedural case. It is a case that is looking at how the police officer, who is the focus of this hearing, whether the police officer killed Eric Garner, quote, within police guidelines, unquote, especially as they apply to chokeholds. They denied it at first that this was a chokehold situation, but we've had medical examiners testify that the compression on Eric Garner's neck, even as he was saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," he said it 11 times before he died. They're arguing now the differences between a chokehold and a so-called maneuver that the police department, in place of the chokehold, had begun to train officers in, and it is called a maneuver, a kind of seatbelt maneuver. And that is what is the focus of the hearing now. Was Eric Garner's death, in fact, a murder by a police officer, a careless police officer, who wantonly applied the outmoded and banned, this is the chokehold was banned in the police department. And did, in fact, Daniel Pantaleo, much shorter than Eric Garner, much less powerful than Eric Garner, in fact, he had to leap up in order to hold him and to apply the chokehold. This is comparing size and power. Eric Garner was a pretty big man. But in any event, this hold brought him down. And curiously, they found no one else, although Pantaleo was in the company of several other police officers at the time. None of those officers are part of this hearing. None of those officers has been charged with a crime because they were all in this as a group. We also remember that at the scene, when medical personnel were on hand, They didn't seem particularly enthusiastic about taking care of Eric Garner, although his condition was clearly very serious on the scene of this crime. So there are many questions that should be answered here. Many, many questions that should be answered here. Why is this not a criminal trial? This is the first thing. And it is super simplistic to say, well, the grand jury didn't find reason to indict Pantaleo or anyone else in this trial. And that presumes that the public is just so simple-minded that it doesn't understand that indictments very often reflect a relationship between police and the district attorney presenting the case before a grand jury. It neglected to take into account the facts of the closeness of Staten Island and the interlocking interests that exist in Staten Island. And then we have, on top of that, we had, if you remember, Eric Holder, the former Attorney General of the United States under Barack Obama, promising that these cases, police brutality cases, police killings, or I should say killings by police, will not go unnoticed and will be the subject of very keen observation and investigation. That hasn't happened. And so as we come to the end of the case, we see a procedure on being undertaken that will wipe the slate clean. What gives them incentive to do this is that there was, in fact, a settlement with an out-of-court settlement with the Garner family. And the feeling is, well, they've already gotten paid. What's the big deal? In fact, that was the quote from a New York Police Department supervisor saying that Eric Garner's death was not a big deal. So there we are. The settlement is enough. The family has been compensated. And they got a twofer. The family got money from the city. The police officer in question, Pantaleo, got no indictment. He's off the hook. And now it is a matter of debating the fine points of what's the difference between a chokehold and a restraining maneuver taught by the police department, as Pantaleo claims. He claims that this chokehold that everybody's saying is a chokehold. Medical examiners said it was a chokehold. They're saying it was, in fact, this seatbelt maneuver. And that caused it. And further aggravating circumstances were that Garner himself caused it. How did Garner cause his own death? Because he was an unhealthy man. He was overweight. He was asthmatic. He was basically, he worked himself into a heart attack. So Pantaleo cannot be responsible for how a person about to be arrested or in the process of being arrested chooses to react to the situation. Eric Garner reacted poorly to the situation by resisting arrest, and that caused a chain reaction within his body that ended his life. So Eric Garner caused his own death. Either way, there will be no criminal conviction of Pantaleo. The most that would happen to this officer and the other officers who were part of this arrest process, the most that would happen to them is loss of a job. Pantaleo, and it was shocking to me when I read that Pantaleo was earning as much as $120,000 a year. I don't need to tell you that if you were to take a closer eye at this, we would find that not many police officers coming into the department with, I should say, basic training earn $120,000 a year. And even while under the suspicion of causing the death of a fellow New Yorker, he still kept earning his salary, even though he was put on desk duty. But his salary was never diminished or never in doubt. So he had a cushy job for 5 years waiting for this so-called hearing. And we should ask, why is it that we should be okay with the fact that the police commissioner, for all intents and purposes, becomes a judge? Just like that. Didn't go to law school, didn't take the bar, didn't do any of that. He was police commissioner. And therefore, he's entitled to make a decision that seems to me and every other reasonable person, that kind of decision should not belong to the police department. And it should not be recast as a matter having to do with police procedure. There's been a death. There's been a death by force. And somewhere there ought to be justice. And we're waiting for it. We know where this is going to go. The question is, what comes next after the so-called verdict is in? And we kind of know what happened, what will happen in this so-called decision, that the police officer more than likely would not be held accountable for the death of Eric Garner. And it would be as if this never happened. And it's all happening in the open before our eyes. Such is the contempt for the people of the city of New York. And by extension, the people of the United States. We can find all kinds of ways to circumvent justice, to divert it, to just make it not work. And we are more concerned, even though there is a death. There's never been an inquest, really. It was removed almost immediately from the control of the district attorney, with the understanding, as we can interpret, the understanding being that you're not going to have a law enforcement official indicting a police officer. It's not going to happen. And you have the racial dynamic, which cannot be ignored. Pantaleo is Italian, and Eric Garner was an African American man. This case should not disappear. This case should not be allowed to be categorized as a hearing. People need to become very concerned about this case, no matter how it turns out, but we pretty much know where it is headed so far. All the signals we're getting are the wrong signals. Well, let's talk about a development over the weekend where Michigan's Representative Justin Amash became one of the first Republicans to join the overwhelmingly Democratic call so far for the impeachment of Donald Trump. The first Republican. Well, I remembered that that Nancy Pelosi, the leader of the Democratic Party, said that this is a kind of thing that requires bipartisan involvement. And although he did not himself say anything about impeachment, the rock-solid Republican, Mr. Romney, said that Amash's action was a courageous statement. A courageous statement. Now, that is surprising, too. So now we have two Republicans, one absolutely out there saying Trump should be impeached, the other not saying that Trump should be impeached, but calling Amash's statement courageous. You know, this is what gets me with this country. It is hard for people to say what they mean and mean what they say. You either are you for impeachment or you're not. This is not a referendum on how one is to interpret a Republican congressman's statement. His statement is not the issue. His action is. His action was, I believe that Donald Trump, fellow Republican, president of the United States, has committed several impeachable offenses that ought to be pursued and prosecuted. We have another more cowardly and supposedly more diplomatic approach by Romney, who says it was a courageous statement. Who cares what you think about his statement? What do you think of his action? And do you endorse his action or not? He's not making a statement. He's saying we need to act. And this is how we need to act. We need to act in the sense of impeaching a president. That's the action that is needed at this moment. And then we have the Democrats, who at the worst possible time, and progressives. They're wishy-washy. They're sending very bad signals about their faith in their own actions. And they're sending the electorate signals that, well, we're not quite sure. Well, what is it exactly that you're waiting for? What is it that's going to bring you to a definitive decision? And this is why I have no patience with this stuff. You have people who have spent a lot of money, millions of dollars have been invested in an investigation that has just concluded. And based on that, you are well equipped to make a decision which way you want to go. But we're getting, you know, getting this half-hearted, wimpy kind of reaction when you have enough. You have enough information to make a decision, a reasonable decision. Why not be definitive and say what it is you mean and mean what you say? The investigation, the Mueller report, itemizes what it considers, what Mueller considers, after interviewing hundreds of people, after spending more than $30 million, after conducting all kinds of intensive investigations and noting in incredible detail instances in which President Trump's actions violate, allegedly, okay, you want to be fair, allegedly violate the law. They have the paper. They have a trail. What is the problem? Now, it would be one thing if the Democrats said, look, we want to indict the president, but we don't feel good about it, and we feel kind of guilty, and we don't want to upset Americans, and whatever it is you're thinking, say it. Have the courage to say it. Why do we now have to beg you to come to a decision? This is what is so frustrating, and this is why people should walk away from this process completely, because they don't know what they're doing, or they don't want to do what they have to do. And the people are suffering, because in the end, it is no different. We are being treated no differently by the Democrats as we are by the Republicans. Except that the Democrats have, in my view, very little excuse. You can come to a conclusion. You can make a decision based on what you have. Because what you have is admissible in a court of law as evidence. It is evidence. And if you wish to, if you really insist on it, that no one is above the law, then get busy and make a decision. But this business of dilly-dallying and we can't make up our minds and Nancy Pelosi deciding all by herself, this would sink the country. So the country is not being sunk right now? With this kind of silly play that you guys, are you serious? Are you a serious party? Are you serious about the people, the rights of the people to be protected through your swift and certain action? What exactly accounts for this wishy-washy thing? Even the progressives can't seem to figure out what should happen now. What, do you want the Democrats to take the lead on this and then hide behind them, hide under their skirts? This is serious, serious politics. This is not a joke. You either believe that the president has committed several indictable offenses and therefore should go through the process of being tried for breaking the law. Or is it that you have no faith? Is it that you distrust the Mueller report? Or is it that you're thinking that if you go ahead with this trial, of Donald Trump, you are compelled to put Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton on trial. And I can tell you that is a much worse picture. Maybe that's what the Democrats are afraid of. They don't want to be the ones responsible because they will have to then proceed with the prosecution of the Clintons. And let me tell you, as we've been following the story for 3 years, all the wrongs that the Clintons have done and gotten away with, the billions of dollars that have disappeared and still remain largely unaccounted for, the wretched policies that instantly enlarge the prison system, the criminal justice system. And this woman dares to talk about bringing especially young Black and Latino people, men, to heel, calling them predators. No, Hillary Clinton has not gotten her justice. And I suspect that might be the situation now. The Democrats have to make a decision or else defend why they are proceeding with a potential trial of Trump, but leaving the Clintons and even Barack Obama, leaving them alone. And this is what disgusts me about American politics. There's always an exception to the rule, except the exceptions are not tolerated with you and me. We are not exceptions to the rules. We are prosecuted. But criminals or alleged criminals at that level still get the benefit of the doubt. They get all kinds of breaks, and the law doesn't necessarily apply to them. And this is what we ought to be asking. What is intended here? We cannot go on the presidential elections of 2020 are right in front of us. Somebody has to make a decision and stand by it and defend it and go down the drain with it. They don't have that kind of guts. They just want to talk. They just want to imply that they could do harm to Donald Trump. They just want some signal from Trump. Let's sit down and work out a plan. You get to save face, we get to save face, and the Clintons get to go free. That's really what's happening here. Either that, or they are monumentally incompetent, in which case we shouldn't mind this party dying. And we have the progressives who are saying nothing. The people who are the conscience of American politics saying absolutely nothing. They have nothing to say. Oh, we disagree with Trump's politics in this regard or in that. That's not the issue. I expect that you would disagree with somebody in some regard. The issue, straightforwardly, is why are you so quiet? Why can't we get a definitive reading from the Democrats as to where they stand? Why can't we get a definitive reading from the progressives as to where they stand? We know the reason why. They have punked out. They have no guts. And they do not intend to take on this battle. Even though you couldn't get one better scripted. You couldn't get a battle better scripted to your advantage. But you're not moving. And I say that if we find ourselves at the right on the cusp of 2020 presidential elections, and we still don't have a definitive reading from the Democrats and the progressives and the independents, we should shut them down. Just absolutely shut down these parties because they're useless. And we should walk away. You don't want to be part of a party. You don't want to be supporting a party that has no guts, that is crooked, that is corrupt. We want an accounting. And it is time. The report is out. You could even argue that you don't agree with the report. You don't like Mueller's report. Okay, now tell us why. What do you have to the contrary? Who have you talked to? Who have you investigated? Where is your report, your counter report? You're not doing any of that. All you're doing is hoping that this whole thing will blow over. You'll talk like you don't like Donald Trump and what he's been doing. But you're not making any definitive moves because you know the real crooks. You know who they are and you know what they've done. And more than likely, you were part of it. See, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by all of this dog and pony show. There's some serious constitutional questions here to be addressed and answered definitively. And the Democratic Party so far is underperforming spectacularly. What does Nancy Pelosi mean when she says, well, we've thought about this process of impeachment, and frankly, Trump isn't worth it. Who the hell are you to come to that decision? And if you came to that decision, what do you think? What power do you think you have to decide for everybody that your conclusion is the conclusion? He is not worth it. Is the Constitution worth it? Are other people concerned about what is happening here? So that everybody is sinking in the swill and they're getting to like it. They're adjusting to it because they see it as a way to survive. And that's the deal they're going to cut with each other. We won't raise these very, very embarrassing questions. We won't pursue it with aggression, looking for the truth. We'll just kind of, we'll shepherd it through a process that we already agreed upon. And the process we've agreed upon is that there will be no close scrutiny here. Not of Donald Trump, because you see, Trump already knows that one of his best defenses is the shaggy performance of the Democratic Party. and that the Democratic Party is not free to point fingers at him and the Republicans. No, no, no. He still has the upper hand. He still knows where bodies are buried. And he can cause a great deal of pain for the Democratic Party. At least two Democratic presidents will be on the hook, Obama and Bill Clinton. And then we have the Secretary of State, the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, former senator. And now they will look and they will be free to encourage a deep analysis of how the Democratic Party has been functioning. All this money. But you know who has caught on to the game, and they are close to being very public about it, are foreign governments. As we have talked here, Charles Ortel laid out how these foreign governments are running after billions, billions of dollars that no longer seem to be accounted for. Where did the money go? Through the foundation. But we'll get to that. We're close. We're very close. So I'll take a break right now so that you can get your word in right after this at 888-874-4888. Let's hear what you're thinking. Get you down. Pressure is all around. Sit around and hesitate. Say you're waiting for a lucky break. Life for living. Better use your sense. You're gonna have to stand up tall. Sooner or later. When your back's against that wall. Sooner or later. You'll have to be the one you are. Or you just might find a cure on a time. And it's just too late. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, and we're talking about both the Eric Garner case, I should actually say more accurately, the Daniel Pantaleo case, which is said to be wrapping up this week. So we supposedly will have a decision. But we pointed out there are so many things that went wrong with this case. And we're also talking about, you know, this apparent unwillingness to actually go forward, make a decision. The Democratic Party and even the Republican Party and even the Progressive Party make a decision on Donald Trump and whether he should be brought to justice. And we just talked about the reasons that they're playing games. They play games with us. And we should decide. See, this is one of the long-term goals, I think, of a serious people. And that is not to be toyed with, not to be played with by governmental forces. You have the ability to observe what is going on. You can suspect what is going on, but in any event, you are entitled to have the government explain what is going on and not get by with silly explanations like, well, he's just not worth it. I'm sorry, you say that kind of stuff to your children, not to grown people who you're asking to vote all over the country. That is not a thing you say to grown folk. All right, 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Ma'at, you start us off today.
Yes, greetings, my beloved PRN family.
Thank you.
I first want to bring up Pantaleo, because this administration here, and you made such a good point about the commissioner of police, when you have a system that is utterly broken, first of all, there's video footage, and you, Eric had just broken up a fight. So this idea of loose cigarettes is just a phantom. You see the footage there, and it would seem to me that if that were what was really going on, they would have pulled out he would have pulled out a ticket book and given him a summons. I mean, no one seems to be addressing the fact that to send Eric off to Rikers Island, that shouldn't have been an option. I mean, we know the atrocities, the isolation, the brutality. Khalif Browder is a perfect example that was innocent and didn't even belong there. So I think we need to get back to what was really happening. They were shaking Eric down for the money that he made from his spot at the Staten Island Ferries where he sold the cigarettes. And he managed to get in a complaint, which is not an easy thing to do. So, you know, until we begin to address, you know, we have a whole system that's slavery by another name in terms of incarcerating only certain people for nonsense. You know, the war on drugs is a perfect example. Now that they're finding out that cannabis is a medical miracle and it's going to be a big seller, and we have disdain of being, there has to be expungement of reparation just for that aspect. As to the other topic you brought up, it's really a head shaker. Because impeachment, I mean, for Pelosi to have let out of her mouth, Donald Trump is not worth it, is for her somehow not to see the danger of, you know, worldwide of having such a madman at the top of the heap. First of all, impeachment is a huge stain. When this Republican Michigan Senator Justin Amash came out with a statement giving several points of why impeachment needs to move forward, Donald Trump, this idea that somehow he's golden, this, he doesn't want to be impeached. This is why he came out with his tweet storm and, you know, and denigrating Amash in his usual way and saying, I mean, you know, he's so transparent in the sense of sharing every thought with us. He actually says, well, if you impeach me, I'll go to the Supreme Court, which is not an option. So this idea that he's goading them is nonsense. And not only that, but since there's a blanket obstruction for documents, for witnesses, ignoring subpoenas, they need to open an impeachment query where the public becomes educated as to all the crimes, including the reckless rhetoric, the fomenting of violence, the constant lying. They must be in a leadership position, bringing the public along, which is pretty much already there in the 48% survey that people want.
Not really, because you see, when you take that particular action, as soon as you go after Trump, the other gears start working. It means that Hillary Clinton is going to be a target. This is not going to be a matter of conjecture. She absolutely will be a target of prosecution. Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. And, you know, all said and done, they are not invulnerable, you know, to charges. And everybody knows that. So now they're all playing games, and the joke is on us, because we are not saying why this shouldn't be. We are not objective. In fact, in the middle of it all, we have taken sides, and the most preposterous sides, as I see it. How are you going to accept from a party leader that Trump is not worth it? What kind of an assessment is that? You must think that we have no brains and we can't figure it out.
Yeah, I agree. What an idiotic statement to make when you he's being backed into a corner in terms of the NAD policy around Iran because his choice is Bolton and Pompeo. And it's like we don't see, Utrecht, what is right in front of us. I mean, you know, this man is clueless. He's vicious. He's unfit.
And he is completely free so far. Despite the fact that we have all of these brains in the the Progressive Party and in the Democratic Party. We have people who could figure out a strategy here. They can't seem to figure one out. And they have already yielded precious ground, most notably in terms of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing. They're stalling. They're stalling because they don't want to raise. This is such a nasty issue, and they don't want any part of it because they'll have to own it.
And Trump is such a contradiction. There's a piece in a recent the Week magazine that says U.S. blocks aid for rape victims. So all the wars on the planet, the sexual violence, what happens in happens in the Congo and all places where there's conflict in terms of women being raped and not having recourse to reproductive health and abortion. And, you know, Trump came out recently and said, well, I'm not for it, against, but this UN, this UN Security Council resolution, you know, the U.S. insisted that we cannot protect women in those situations. So they rolled back women having access after rape and all kinds of atrocities, not having access to reproductive health. I mean, that just makes no sense.
Well, it does make sense when you understand the underlying political arrangements that they want to keep in place. It makes perfect sense. What does not make sense is the silence of the progressive community. You're not hearing it. It's right in front of your face. It is not a subject of discussion because Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, they're all on the chopping block. They all committed heinous crimes. And they will all now have to be accountable for why it is Congress couldn't see these crimes. They couldn't see them, therefore they couldn't talk about them, therefore they couldn't prosecute them. On this program, we outlined the disappearance of more than $600 billion. Nobody seems to know where it went, where all that money went. And nobody seems to know the appropriate response. There have been no hearings. There's been no charge.
You're talking about the Clinton Foundation?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just been allowed to do whatever they want to do. And they are safe and assured of complete protection. So I don't buy this business about, well, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican or I'm whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I have no allegiance whatsoever. And that's what we ought to develop. No allegiance. We are free agents, and we are looking to find some place, some party that understands what a party ought to be and ought to do. And we will not be complicit. But we, too, have failed. We haven't called the Democratic Party to account. We haven't called the Clintons to account. We haven't called Barack Obama to account. We say, that's the evil work of the Republicans. Why are we going to attack one of our own?
And Bill Clinton, David, not one from of my Brooklyn own, says, we're all corralled into, being decent, right? You're corralled into just the Democratic Party.
Well, I'm saying this so that it cannot be said that nobody said it. We have to call this party to account. It is as corrupt, if not more so, than Republicans. It is as irrelevant, increasingly, to us as any other party. Thanks so much for listening today. We've come to the end of the program. We'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye. Use what you got from coincidence. Imminent, sooner or later, you're gonna have to stand up tall. Sooner or later, when your back's against that wall. Sooner or later, you'll have